Hello and welcome to Postgres FM, a weekly show about all things PostgreSQL. I am Michael, founder of PG Mustard. This is Nikolai, founder of Postgres AI. Hey Nikolai, how are you doing?
Hi Michael, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good also. So this week, well, I was in charge of choosing, but I've actually picked something that you suggested. I was looking through all the listener suggestions, all of the ideas we've had in the past, and this was one of yours, right?
I have no idea. I already forgot. It was my idea? Okay.
So you suggested a while back that we talk about superuser, and especially superuser in the new normal, the new context of cloud providers or managed services, and whether the fact that we normally don't have superuser access anymore in those cloud environments, whether we should, that kind of thing. So a little bit of refresher on what a superuser is, what it can do, and maybe why we don't have it or why we should have it.
Right. Yeah, good questions. What is superuser, right, first of all? It's just bypassing all privilege checks, right? This is the idea.
Yeah, I looked it up in the documentation. Superuser bypasses all permission checks except the right to log in. It's a dangerous privilege, should not be used carelessly. It's best to do most of your work as a role that is not a superuser, and then talks about how to create one.
So you can create superuser with no login flag, right? Or
I guess so. Yeah.
Interesting. Actually, I have white spot in my knowledge here, maybe, honestly. because superuser is what people sometimes use, not thinking about permissions at all, even launching their services and web application using superuser database. It's very, very bad practice. Did you do that ever?
Yeah. It's the default, right? It's the default. Well, when you don't know better. No.
Actually, yes, and it means defaults here again are not perfect because they don't encourage you to create non-super user database or user that you will be using. Also, I can remember some companies, small and big ones, doesn't matter, which give single super user or so it's different kinds of scene, right? Different scenes. One scene is, let's use one single superuser for all people who have like DBA access or SRE access, like admin access, and share it. Or let's give everyone superuser, but named one. Maybe the first thing, different scenes. Like, use superuser by default to when you work with database, checking something. And different scene is like, let's share account, let's share database role. Both are not good things, right? But at least if you separate roles and create multiple super users, it's already slightly better. Not slightly, actually, it's significantly better because you can see who is doing what at least, right? Distinguish people. But in general, the Postgres, how it's organized, it provokes you to use super user for everything by default, and you need to make efforts to go out of it. Most people at least realize this and at least stop using super user for application work. This is number one thing to do. Okay, you are going to use super user for yourself because you have all the rights. You're maybe the owner of everything, right? Or you own this database, okay, you have superuser. It's a separate question. Should you always log in as superuser, right? Maybe you should log in as normal user, regular one with limited permissions, and only if needed, use superuser access. But at least all application code must not use superuser, right? This is obvious.
Well, and why? Like, it's the danger, right?
Well, security. My favorite topic, security, right? I'm joking.
Security is a really good reason, but I think also like the danger of being able to like drop things, being able to destroy data, being like, it's not just a security issue, right? Like somebody could steal everything, but they could also just destroy everything and not steal anything.
Right. Well, it's also a kind of type of security. Well, it might reliability or something, right? Okay, but it's still like it's insecure to give everyone It's not about like somebody outside of company stole data, but even inside company, somebody made a mistake. It's also about, it means that the work is not secure, right? But I wish auditors dig into this hole deeper. Like many companies already reported, I mean, Postgres companies reported they have SOC 2. And some companies go to IPO and they have a lot of auditing activities from external auditors, right? And I know like companies who are very well known, they have a bunch of questions, and some of these questions sometimes related to Postgres. But when you look at them being Postgres expert, they look funny, usually. So yeah, I think it would be good to create some standard or something. Actually, there is some standard, right? Crunchy Data, they shared a big PDF a few years ago, which is aimed to make Postgres setup more secure. And it was for, I think, for Army or something like developed.
Yeah, US military, right, I think, collaborated with them on it.
Right, this is a good thing, and even better that they shared it and this became public, so you can use it to grab some things. And obviously, a lot of things are related to permissions and what kind of database user you use, right? But if your company right now already got SOC 2 or doing this or IPO or something, I would like not rely on external auditors to say, okay, we are good in here. They suck there. Like their questions don't cover this topic almost. Or at least what I saw so far over the last 5 years. I didn't see good questions, honestly. Like some of them were kind of good, but this kind of topic, like, do you use superuser? Do you distinguish users, humans, and so on and so on. Like, what is your model for these privileges and so on? Quite weak. I'm not an expert, as usual, I say. I'm not an expert in security at all. And this is not, like, this is maybe one of the least favorite topics in database. But it's a super important topic, right? So, yeah. Okay, so when should we use superuser?
That was where I was thinking we were going to go. So you mentioned a while back, I think maybe on Twitter, maybe just to me, I can't remember, that there's a bunch of times when you're maybe with a client that's using a managed service provider that is frustrating to you that you don't have superuser access. So I was interested, like, when are those times? Like, what are you trying to do that you can't do without it, or that's difficult to do without it?
Yeah, there are things that only a superuser can do, obviously. And for example, copy from program, dangerous thing to do because you can basically execute any shell code under Postgres OS user, Linux user, right? And some things like, I don't remember exactly, but there are certain type of things where you need superuser, definitely. So
I found a list. I was looking at all the different cloud providers and whether they do or don't provide it. And there's a really good list in the Supabase docs of what is unsupported in their highest privileged role. So they don't, let me just read it quickly. Supabase provides the default Postgres role to all instances deployed. Superuser access is not given as it allows destructive operations to be performed on the database. And so those unsupported operations are...
destructive. Okay.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice of words. Create role with replication, create subscription, create event trigger, copy from program, as you mentioned, and of course, auto user with superuser. So you can't make other users superusers.
Well, these are destructive actions. Mm-hmm. If they are destructive, let's remove them from Postgres. This is judgment. Like, let me judge, right? I'm the owner of this database, or who is the owner of database? So let me drop my position. It's very simple. Two things. First thing, for managed providers, right? Managed Postgres providers. If you don't run in container, question why not, right? Run in container. Or actually, or in separate VM. You probably run it in separate VM or in container at least, right? So it's.
You mean like, is it isolated? So if somebody breaks out and, or yeah, if somebody else is being destructive, it doesn't affect you. If, you know, a different customer, that, yeah.
Firecracker, micro VM or something, a lot of things like, but at least container. So it's already isolated. If it's isolated, second point, give me super user because I'm the owner of this database. That's it. And they usually say, all, most of them say, it's for your safety, right? But it's bullshit and lie. It's a lie. Because if you, I know for sure that inside big provider, very big provider teams, this topic pops up from time to time. And technical people usually say, let's do it. There are no big reasons to say, like, we protect these users. Like, when AWS give you EC2 instance, it's a virtual machine with Linux. They give you root, right?
Oh, I don't know.
They give you root, of course. Well, I have root. Then people say, okay, but for Postgres, we have a lot of automation and you can break it. Well, if I break it, I break it, right? So if I execute copy from program as I did with Crunchybridge and I move pgvol directory, well, this is destructive action, right? I copy from program to table and I just mv pgvol to pgvol 2 and I've got panic. I mean, database got panic. I've got big joy observing that I have. I can destroy myself. I mean, my database, because this is how I think. Okay, I own it at least. Like, okay, not directly, but I own it. You know, there is philosophical, very good statement. You can truly own only what you can destroy.
Ooh.
Right?
I've not heard it, but it makes sense.
It makes sense in anything, right? For example, if you cannot destroy your own company, if you're a startup founder, you not own it at all. Maybe investors own it, right? And you should realize it. Who can destroy it? This is like ownership without ability to destroy it. So here we come to destructive actions, but let me judge it. Let me judge it and let me feel it, right? So I don't accept any reasons like that. We protect you. You can destroy it. Our support will be fed up with questions. I destroyed something. Well, if you destroy something, recover from backups. That's it. But they also say, okay, if we have a lot of automation, and if we allow you copy from program super user, for example, then you will be able as a user to see our automation pieces, right? Yeah. Reverse engineer it. This is already a real reason. This is the real reason. They don't tell you as the first reason, but this is the number one reason, honestly. They don't want you to see the automation from inside, right? Crunchybridge is great here. They don't care. Like, I'm not sure if their product is open source. There are doubts in it because they stopped publishing images, as I know, and so on. But here they give you super user. You can go copy from program and explore, you know, like directory layout and so on, everything. Find which programs are there, probably try to execute them. Like, it's your world. Like, you really own it. They give you this. They charge you extra. Like, you charge me extra and you protect me from myself. I don't know. There will be time. There will be time when people start realizing it, and I hope auditors will also realize it. Who owns this database?
Yeah, of all the ones I checked, Crunchybridge were the only ones that supplied full superuser. A lot of the other ones create kind of a pseudo role just below that with like Superbase. I couldn't find a list of things that were removed from others, but Crunchybridge does definitely deserve credit for that. And especially if you consider they were the ones that are publishing the security guide, I feel like that's a really good argument for it's possible. It's just maybe people don't want to do it. I would say they've got another possible advantage, or at least maybe like some other reasons. I am not as convinced as you as that the support reason's not a good one, because even to investigate, was it the user that messed up or was it us that messed up? is actually quite difficult sometimes in support. I don't know if you've ever had that.
Do you use RDS or CloudSQL or something? Do you know how the calls with support work? Do you see how the calls are usually organized?
I haven't ever used their support.
I mean, any of managed services support. If you destroy something, they won't walk you step by step what happened. They will offer you to recover from backup, blah, 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 like that. Of course, there are logs, right?
So, well, and possibly ironically, I have actually seen people have great experience with Crunchy Data support. This is not sponsored by Crunchy Data, I promise, but there are providers out there giving really good support. But I could imagine an argument for, especially if you're a provider that like provides a free tier, for example, the ones that charge more than it would cost you to host your own, I can see the argument for maybe they should provide super user access. But if it's a free service, I'll go on.
So yesterday I had 1 million rows in the table, but today it's only like minus 10 rows. Those 10 rows, right? Should I go to support? Because maybe it's a bug. Maybe it's a bug of their automation. Maybe it's a bug of Postgres itself. Rows disappeared.
If you've ever run a product, you're going to get some customers that come with support questions that it turns out it's nothing to do with your product. It happens to all of us, right?
Right. Or maybe I know I executed delete. Or maybe I know my application could execute a delete, right?
So this is the same kind of problem. Point.
It's the same question, the same type of question. That's why I say, then they say we protect you, it's a bullshit.
On that note, like maybe to move on slightly, I did actually notice in the Crunchy docs that for the super user role, they have PG audit on by default to log what it's doing.
Yeah, this is what I suspected.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah, well, yes. If you enable it for all users, so your logs will be flooded with a lot of data, and it will become performance bottleneck very quickly. So it makes sense to enable it for super users and capture everything what's happening, right? So,
and of course, I suspect you could change that if you've got super user access.
You can change that.
But I think the idea is help people help themselves, and also support them if it maybe alarm if it looks like they are using it as their application user
People are not stupid in general. There are stupid people, but there is only a minority of them. And if you say we protect you, it means like you don't trust your own customers. It's bullshit. That's why I say it's bullshit. So this is a good thing to have good defaults. For example, okay, super users and PG audit is enabled. If someone disables it, this record that it got disabled goes to log, so we have footprints, right, of this action. But in general, people can, at least somehow customers I deal with, I see opposite. I sometimes think, I need to explain you this, but they're quite smart. They like, well, okay, we already got this. So they can understand what's happening. My point is that they don't give this to you to protect them, not you.
Yeah.
They want to be protected. They want to share what they got. And this is like business decision. It's not technical decision. So they don't want to share all automation and how exactly they adjusted Postgres and so on and so on. But I hope people will start realizing this, and cases like Crunchy Breach will be more common. And people who are truly open source believers and lovers, they will shift to more open approach and more trustful approach, like trust your customers. They can decide if it's destructive or no, right? And just keep everything open, share your automation, and give ownership and access to your customers. And in this case, the premium usually quite significant over infrastructure costs will be reasonable to pay, right? Now there is imbalance in this world, as I see. And I hope auditors will also realize it and start asking questions. Who is actual owner of this database?
Yeah, interesting. Good point. But what do you think about free, I completely take your point on providers that are charging a premium over what it would cost you to run the service. But what about the ones that are offering you a free tier, like Neon or Superbase, or even there are some newer ones as well.
Well, how is it different?
Well, I actually don't know if it. Maybe it's a premium feature. Maybe like if it. I think it will end up in more support personally, even if you don't, even if you don't agree that it should end in more support, I think it would overall.
I don't think it will be big part of whole picture. It won't be a whole big part. I mean, this kind of questions. Like, I destroyed my database and I don't. Of course, if it got destroyed and you didn't do anything, like, in, look, this is a good question. But if you have Pedro audit set up, you can check logs, and support easily can point to small how to understand what's happening, and that's it. And support usually doesn't look inside your database, right? This is your area. Like RDS support, for example, you need to have high level of support and convince. Like they usually check only VM underlying things and like infrastructure things, right? What's happening inside your database? Who deleted rows or who moved, for example, a PG wall? I still say this is the same level of things. It's your area.
Yeah, true. I mean,
I know many people won't agree with me, actually.
I don't know if they would anymore. I think there's an increasing education around data processing, especially with all like the privacy laws in the EU and in California, whose data is it and who's processing the data, who owns the data.
Right. Yeah, this in true spirit of some of those laws, like if this is my data, I should own it and be able to destroy everything, not only at logical level, like delete. Maybe I want to destroy PG wall right now myself, you know. I don't know. Like this is true ownership. And see how it works inside, like I need to feel it. This is true ownership. In my opinion. Inspect it.
I can see the argument a little bit for things like replication, or, you know, some of the cloud providers, they have, for example, really easy single checkbox, high availability or something. And then you go and destroy replication or you mess something up that means that's not working anymore.
Usually such providers don't use Postgres replication. This checkbox usually is not based on Postgres replication. It's usually underlying block storage device replication synchronous usually. So this is what I know about RDS Cloud SQL and so on. So usually this is lower level, right?
Cool, makes sense. And maybe you can't even mess that up. Great. Yeah.
So anyway, like I know we live in the world when people say like, honestly, I also think most of developers look at what RDS did or Cloud SQL did or Microsoft guys did, and they just copy this approach, not thinking deeper. Crunchy is, as you mentioned, they are security experts, obviously, and they are brave. So kudos, actually. Like I already told this a couple of times on Twitter. This is great. But others just copy what other, say smaller or new providers, they just copy decisions from biggest providers and copy their arguments, like, this is to protect user, this is to protect customer, this is for your own safety, you know. Let me decide what is destructive.
Yeah. So, well, and I know quite a few managed service providers listen and people that work at them. It would be great to hear from you if there's something we've missed or if there's a way of explaining this that would be better, let us know.
Yeah. Actually, I can criticize this easily because I don't develop managed Postgres service, right?
Yeah.
Because in this case, I would need to be more careful because I would have my situation. But honestly, I got several times I saw this, like how to implement, like how to protect, what we should protect. If you provide supervisor, what kind of dangers exist? And the list is obviously, like this is copy from program, foreign data wrappers probably, and so on, like dangerous parts. So if you think about it, like you can implement good model, and I think of course maybe Postgres could provide some additional tools to restrict certain areas, but it's like if I it's my database, I should decide what to enable, what to disable, and at which point for whom, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Postgres can do anything about this, because ultimately these are features that we need, someone needs to be able to do them. Well, maybe if no one needs to be able to do them, it shouldn't be in Postgres at all. But if someone wants to be able to do them, it seems silly to me not like to disable it because we want to be able to host it in clouds.
Yeah, well, I want to disable it sometimes. For example, in Database Lab, we have Drawbot, right? And we don't want Drawbot to, like, we want as much freedom as possible for end users to execute any SQL. But if it's this, any SQL is copied from program, it can be dangerous because, or foreign data wrapper, because maybe users who are end users, they are still inside the same team, but maybe admin doesn't want them to execute it. And we just want to we want to protect here. We still, some users have full access, admin decides, right? But some users who work only at this level, this like SQL experimentation level, they are restricted, and at some point we removed all possibilities of copy of program for data wrappers and so on and so on. So they cannot do harm even if they are inside the same team. But it admin decides which permissions to provide, right? So in the end of the day, you own this database and you decide what to do. When I say you, I mean admins, right? Because inside bigger customer, there might be some already additional users, right? And a good tool can provide the ability to control those permissions.
Yeah, and that's what we're saying, right? Like, we're not saying RDS should provide superuser to every single person who has access to the RDS dashboard, but to like an admin. That's what we're asking for, right?
Right.
One person or a small group of users.
Right, right. Well, if of course there is chain reaction. If we, for example, RDS, for example, we provide superusers, but then what to do with access to wall files, backups, physical replication connection, and so on and so on. There is a chain reaction here, right? And they restrict you here, partially because it's kind of vendor lock-in, obviously, right? So they also restrict a number of things, like, for example, recovery target LSN, so you cannot perform zero downtime upgrades with our recipe, which involves recovery target LSN. You can only do with slot advancement, so we call it Instacart approach, right? This article, Instacart approach, which there are opinions it's more risky.
Interesting.
Right, right. So recovery target LSN, you need to do it, like you need to provide it. So, I mean, if you provide super user, this is a Pandora box in terms of decisions what to provide to your users. So,
well, it's Pandora's box, but it's making all of those decisions at once and saying we let you do anything.
Yeah, that's cool. You are the owner. You decide what to do. We provide your automation. We charge for it. That's it. Now we live in a different world. We provide you some automation. We hide a lot of capabilities Postgres has from you. We restrict you and charge for it. It's not fair. But this is most popular approach right now. This is about we had discussions about managed services, right?
So yeah, second episode actually. Maybe it's a little bit of a loop.
right. Yeah, I feel the loop indeed, but a different angle completely. So we had the previous episode also
exactly
echoing the first one. Interesting. So we know the next topic should echo the third one, right? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's it.
Wraparound.
Yeah. Right. So maybe this discussion was not too technical, right? But you can go read the documentation if you want technical. So.
Yeah, and there were good talks on roles and security and just covering the basics. There's loads of documentation on this kind of thing. We can include some links.
Right. Yeah, we had some philosophical discussion. Do you own your database? RDS users, do you own your databases? Who owns it? Maybe people don't care about it until some auditors decide it's not truly ownership. But probably how world is organized, probably they will never raise this question. Everyone is happy. So I don't know.
And at least there's choice out there now. Like, at least there is at least one provider that does, and you can self-host. You can even, you know, use the cloud and manage it yourself. So,
yeah. I also say I want to own my bloat, right? Because Arduous does allow you to take your physical
logical replication. Level.
Yeah, logical. You lose the bloat your data files have. And you cannot stop thinking about bloat because it's Postgres, right? Bloat is the central of architecture, right? So you need to understand how this works if you want good performance. So yeah, interesting. So you work at abstraction only, at some abstraction level, and you cannot copy files. Yeah. Okay, maybe enough.
Thanks so much, Nikolai. Thanks, everyone. And see you next week.
Bye-bye.